Hello, everybody, and welcome to this worship service. We're really glad that you're here. This is the time of year where it just seems a little strange to say good evening this time of day, but here we are at this evening worship service, and I'm so glad that you are here. So thankful for your attendance and your being with us this evening. Are you familiar with that passage of Scripture that is at the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, the blessed passages? Blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed. Blessed are they that mourn. Verse number 4 says, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. And it's by the way, a great passage to work on memorizing. All of us in here can do that. And it's a good sequence of verses for us to think about. Our pew packers earlier this afternoon, they were working on some verses together, doing a great job, and pointing out the need to stop and reflect on and retaining these verses and even memorizing these verses. You can do that. This passage in Matthew chapter 5 that I quoted a few excerpts from, this is called the Beatitudes, because this is how you're supposed to be, number one. And this passage is spoken by Jesus to shine a bright spotlight on characteristics that belong among his followers. But you know, there are some of these Beatitudes in the book of Revelation, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to thumb through the book of Revelation with you and notice some of these blessed passages. This will kind of be a bit of an extension on what we talked about this morning from Psalm 119, being a blessed person. If you're listening to this sermon from our webpage, go back and check out that sermon on Psalm 119. While I mention that, I just want to say that I'm so, so thrilled about what's being done online by the Augusta Road Church of Christ. For a while now, you know, because we've been telling you, we have the capability of streaming these worship services on the internet, and we're only going to get better at all of this stuff. We have started this, and what a great start we've already made at it. It's already proving to be helpful and valuable to folks. In addition to that, right about the time we were doing that, we were also recording the sermons. I say we. I'm not doing any of this, but I appreciate the folks who are so much, and really, they should be the ones telling you about this. And that will happen. You'll hear more about this from the folks who are involved. But I would just like to brag on them and add how happy and thankful I am that this is being done. Because this is a valuable tool. You know, there are a lot of people, tons of people on the internet. Hopefully not right now while I'm preaching, but they're on the internet, and we can find them. You know, they can find us, and that's terrific. That's great. So those who might be listening that way, we might not always say a special word of welcome to you, but we're glad that folks online are finding us, and this sermon tonight will kind of track the same general trajectory that we talked about this morning about being a blessed person. This is a nice part B, though it stands on its own two feet, of that earlier discussed concept about being blessed. And we're going to see in the book of Revelation, a highly, highly valuable book, by the way, one that we don't want to skip or take for granted or kind of write off as being too difficult to understand. We want to spend some time in the book of Revelation because its message is sublime. Its message is that God's people finally win. Revelation is, you can think about it as the last chapter of the book. It's its own book made up of many different chapters, but in the Bible, it's the last section of it, and it lets us know just how big our prize is going to be. So we want to spend some time with the book of Revelation. Sure, it's got its challenging passages, but we dig into those with maturity and with some sophistication in Bible interpretation and understanding, and we can really, really see with clarity the pictures that God is showing us. Now, we won't do all of that tonight in our quick glance of the book. I mentioned to you what I want to do is look at some of these Beatitudes passages. And we have the first one right in the first chapter. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed, the Bible says, is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things which are written therein for the times at hand. It's a bit ironic, I suppose, that this verse is in the book of Revelation, which is kind of a skipped book by a lot of students of the Bible. We've referenced its complexity at parts. The book of Revelation is perfectly understandable. We can understand it together. But a lot of people don't want to invest the time. They don't want to invest the energy in wading through the apocalyptic literature, the figures of speech, the heavy, heavy imagery of the book. And so they kind of stop studying their Bibles with the book of Jude, the book right before the book of Revelation. That's a big, big mistake. And ironically, right here, leading off the book of Revelation, kind of, verse 3 of the first chapter, is a blessing on those who read, those who hear, those who keep. We talked about these important details of Christian living before. We hear, we read, we keep, we keep on going and digging and seeking to please the Lord. We don't ever stop. We never reach a point where, you know, we've given it all that we're willing to give. I've known Christians who, here's what they've done, and this is not a good thing, by the way. They have learned all that they want to know. They've learned all that they want to know about God and the Bible and Christianity. And that they've not learned all that they need to know about God or the Bible and Christianity. But they've gotten to a point where they're good. They're good enough. You know, we're comfortable. We're complacent. And so we're going to stop challenging ourselves. We're going to stop trying to get better. And the Bible's not something you can do that with. I knew a man who worked in the factory one time, and he was getting older just like everybody, just like all of us. You know, no one's getting any younger, so of course he was getting older. And he told me on his job, you know, they have new equipment, they have new procedures, they have new ways of doing things that, you know, he didn't come up doing it that way. And he said, you know what, I've just reached a point where I don't want to learn that new way of doing it. So they're still keeping me around at the job, and I can do it this way. One of these days, the way that I know how to do it's going to be phased out, and everybody will have to learn this new way, but that'll be after my time. Well, that's fine. That's fine if you want to do that when it comes to your job or when it comes to other things that are less important than the Bible. That's not fine, though, with God's Word. You know, we never look at the Bible and say, you know what, I've just gotten to a point where I'm okay to stop here. This Bible, interesting, this Bible that I'm using tonight, it has fallen all to pieces. All my pages are coming out. I think that's a good thing, that the Bible is being used so much that the pages come right out in your hands. Now, that's probably not the way you'd want to read, but that is a good sign. You know, the old saying goes, this is a brilliant thing to put on Facebook, a worn-out Bible is the sign of a life that's put together. You know, the more we dig into the Bible and read it and study it and memorize it, yes, you can do that, and teach it to others, the more we do that, the more blessings we will see come as a result of that. With Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 that you see on the screen there, I also think about John 13, verse 17. John 13, 17, Jesus says, If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There's a correlation between knowing what God wants, knowing that we are giving God what He wants, and a satisfaction that comes from all of that. We're not happy because we're so good and everybody else is so bad. That's not the way things are. That's not the message that we preach in churches of Christ, that we're better than other people, that we're more holy. That's a Pharisaical message. And we don't believe that for a second. That we are made out of better stuff than other people, and that's why God loves us. No. We're the same as everybody else. But we know what God wants us to do. And we don't know that because we're special or because we're enlightened or because we're smarter than other folks. We know that because it's in the book, because we're reading, because we're hearing, because we're keeping, because we're studying, we're digging, we're doing. We know that, and we know that this is what God wants, okay? Like we've said before, God is certainly smart enough to give us a message that we can understand. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to say, you know what, we just can't figure out what God wants. That wouldn't be a compliment to God, who is all-powerful and all-love. Of course, God, in all of His power, He can give us a book that we can understand. And you know what? Adding to that, here's what else you come up with. God can give us a book that we can understand. He can give us a brain that can understand that book that He just gave us, all right? So all of that works together. God gives us a book that we can understand. God gives us a brain to know what that book says. God gives us common sense to know when we are doing what God has told us that He wants us to do. All of that equals a confidence, a surety of our salvation. That's why we have peace. That's why we have happiness. Because we know that we are pleasing the Lord. And we're not pleasing the Lord because we're better than everybody else. We're pleasing the Lord because that's a priority that we've placed in life. Hopefully the number one priority in your life is to make God happy. If that's not number one on your list, man, don't leave here tonight until we can talk to you, because I want you to know that should be number one on your list, to make the Lord happy and to please Him, because if you don't do that, nothing else matters. So, Revelation, the last book of our Bible, starts out with announcing this blessing to those who read it, to those who hear it, to those who do it. We continue on, though. We see this passage, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. John hears this message, and it says, "Write, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." So those who die in the Lord are blessed. In my mind, I connect these words, "Blessed are they that die in the Lord," Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. I connect Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 with Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. That's precious to God, Psalm 116, verse 15. And Paul certainly felt that way, didn't he? You can open your Bibles to this passage with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul here, we believe him to be very, very near the end of his death. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying that the time of my departure is at hand. Verse number 6, 2 Timothy 4, 6. "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." Paul is so near death that he's speaking of himself in the past tense. And he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. This is the part where Paul talks about you and me. Not to me only, but to all those who love him at his appearing. That's incredible that the Lord can keep up with everybody who loves him, that the Lord can award a crown of life to everyone who loves him. You know, we have to be talking about an all-powerful being to be able to do all that. It's incredible. I think about Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, famous passage, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Back in Jesus' day, just like today, I'm sure, there were a lot of worries, a lot of concerns that his followers had. How am I going to make it in life? You know, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? How are things going to be taken care of? And Jesus says, don't worry too much about that. Now, that's a message that we need to really listen to, you know. Have you ever thought about worry as a thief? Worry is a thief. Worry comes and steals happiness and joy from your life. Worry comes and robs you of future happiness, right? People worry so much about the future and making sure that everything's taken care of that they kill themselves. I mean, literally, they work themselves and worry themselves to a frazzled up nub. And then a stroke happens or a heart attack happens or something like that that is often a bad byproduct of worry. And I know it's hard. Believe me, I know it's hard because I'm a regular person just like everybody else and have the same, you know, concerns about the future and same fears of uncertainty as everybody else. We're no different. And so we know how real it is. And that makes me love Matthew chapter 6 all the more, because Jesus is right there encouraging us to put our hand in his and just trust that everything's going to be okay. Now, the Lord takes care of the birds. The Lord takes care of the flowers in his own way. And for the Lord, that's easy. That's easy to do. Taking care of the birds, taking care of the flowers, that's easy to do for a being who can do everything. And Jesus tells us in that passage, we are so much more valuable to God than those birds and those flowers. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us big time. And the Lord has a crown of righteousness that he is ready, willing, and able to give everyone. There's no number on these things. You don't have to be one of a select few who will get this. Everybody, Paul says, will get this crown of life when Jesus comes, if they love him at his appearing. So blessed are those who die in the Lord, because death in the Lord is a victory. It's not the end. It's not the end at all. It's the beginning. It's why we're put here, not to be morbid or anything, not to be more morbid, I guess, but you know, we're put here. We're put here to pass away. We're put here to pass through. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. You know, we're not putting down roots on this earth for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons is because this world is not made to last forever. So, you know, good luck putting down roots in a world that's not going to be here forever. That's not a good idea. This world is going to pass away just like we are going to pass away. It's going to die just like we're going to die. And that's the whole point. Everyone's going to die. Not everyone is going to die in the Lord. Paul talks about the sting of death being taken away. The sting of death is no more. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 55 through 58. Paul calls death to the witness stand. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? It's not there. Death has no sting. Death has no victory. Because the Lord has given us the victory over the death and over the grave. Thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, that gives us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, you see. Because where we're going is a much better place than where we are. Next, thumbing through the book of Revelation, looking at these beatitudes, these characteristics that we should have, these qualities that we should be. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of the book, verse 7, Revelation 22, verse 7. The writer says, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." We mentioned earlier that Revelation is the last book of the last chapter of the book. It's its own book, yes, of course, but it's the last chapter of the Bible, and the Lord wrote the Bible through people, inspired people, and there is magnificent cohesion in the Bible. The same Jesus that we see shades of prophecies about in Genesis chapter 3 is the one sitting on his throne in Revelation. So there is cohesion. There is symmetry in the Bible. And we're being told here that if we keep the sayings of this book, then we're going to be blessed. Not just talking about the single book of Revelation, but stretching that out more broadly and talking about the whole Bible as a book, because it is. It's a book made up of two parts, of 66 different books. It's a single message. Jesus is at the center of that single message, of course you know. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hear and keep." There's a premium on listening to what God says and doing what God says. Now that's the way to unlock the blessings that heaven has in store, is keeping, doing these things. One more along the same lines. Revelation chapter 22, again, Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 now. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." We mentioned the magnificent cohesion and symmetry and uniformity of the Bible. I think that's very nicely illustrated here. You know, back in Genesis chapter 3, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 records man's fall, man's sin, and specifically there in Genesis chapter 3, verses 22, 23, 24, man is banished from the Garden of Eden. You remember that? And God announces that man's punishment is to be separated from the tree of life, you recall? Because if man had access to the tree of life, he would eat its fruit and live forever. Well, man in Genesis chapter 3 is separated from the tree of life. And the tree of life falls out of view. The Bible doesn't say anything about the tree of life anymore until right here, the last chapter of the Bible. And what what makes a star appearance? The tree of life. Where has it been? Genesis chapter 3, man is separated from the tree of life so that he cannot eat its fruit and live forever. Now those who are on the Lord's side are beautifully reunited with the tree of life. That loop is closed, and we're told in heaven the tree of life will be there. We will be there if we do his commandments. Remember, because that's where the blessing comes from. It's a whole lot like John 14, 15, isn't it? John chapter 14, verse 15, famous passage again. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We don't preach keeping commandments because we're trying to brainwash you. We don't preach keeping the Lord's commandments because we're a cult that says, hey, you better fall in line. We preach keeping commandments because, well, that's a sign of love. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep these commandments. So doing what the Lord wants us to do is a sign of love. We keep the commandments, we do what he says do because we love him. And because we want to be saved. I mean, we want to see again that tree of life, Revelation 22, 14. And one way to make sure that we'll see it is by doing his commandments. That gains us, Revelation 22, 14, a right to the tree of life. Not because we're so good, but because Jesus makes that possible. He makes it possible for those who want to come to him in obedience to his plan of salvation, which all begins with hearing God's word, just like you've done. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17 says. And then after we hear, we have to believe. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, 16. After we hear and after we believe, we must repent. Listen, this message that we're hearing from God needs to change our lives. Otherwise we're not making a commitment to the Lord. If the message of the Bible doesn't change our life, well then we're not a new person. We're the same person. So there needs to be a change. And the Bible calls that repentance. And God commands this repentance. All men everywhere need to do this, Acts 17, 30. And then we confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We do this to let people know why they're seeing the change in our lives. We do this also because if we confess Jesus, he's going to confess us. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father. That is a fantastic deal. So we confess. We hear, believe, repent, confess. But we're not saved yet because we must, absolutely must be baptized. The Bible says this. He who believes and is baptized, remember Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? I know most in this room have. That's great. We still need to go over and over and over those steps to the plan of salvation. Our little kids are memorizing the plan of salvation with Scripture. And we need to be a leader and an example to them, an encourager for them who are working hard to do that. So we have to make sure that we don't forget this plan of salvation because it's what everyone has to do in order to be saved. Most of you in here have done that. If you need to respond and obey that plan of salvation, we would love to help you. I'm sure you know that by now. We would love to help you in obeying that plan of salvation. To those of us who have already obeyed it, let these Beatitudes in the book of Revelation be a lesson to us and a reminder to us that it's not done. We're not finished after we've been baptized. In fact, the work only just begins when we've been baptized. We have a faith to keep. We have works to do. We have a world to teach. We have good news that we need to spread. We need to be busy keeping our faith and helping others see that Jesus is their only hope of salvation. So as a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, if you've not been faithful and true to that calling, consider repenting of sins now so that we can help you, so that we can be there to support you and pray with you. We would love to do any of those things that you need. While we stand and sing, won't you come, please? We'd love to help out.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.